The sermon text is the second lesson from St. Paul's letter to the Romans, chapter 8, verses 1 to 10. So then, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For in Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life set me free from the law of sin and death. Indeed, what the law was unable to do, because it was weakened by the flesh, God did, when he sent his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh to deal with sin. God condemned sin in his flesh, so that the righteous decree of the law would be fully satisfied in us, who are not walking according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. To be sure, those who are in harmony with the sinful flesh think about things the way the sinful flesh does, and those in harmony with the Spirit think about things the way the Spirit does. Now the way the sinful flesh thinks results in death, but the way the Spirit thinks results in life and peace. For the mindset of the sinful flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, and in fact, it cannot. Those who are in the sinful flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the sinful flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed God's Spirit lives in you. And if someone does not have the Spirit of Christ, that person does not belong to Christ. But if Christ is in you, your body is dead because of sin, but your spirit is alive because of righteousness. The word of the Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Picture the Bible as a bride's wedding ring. The Old Testament is the band of the ring. The Old Testament sets up and supports. It wraps around and leads up to the diamond. And of course, the band of a wedding ring is beautiful all by itself, but the ring really needs a diamond to be complete. And the diamond of Scripture is the New Testament, because that's where you get to see God keep all of the promises that he set up back in the Old Testament. That's where you get to see God's plan of salvation unfold right in front of your eyes. Now, the very top of a diamond, the most beautiful part of the diamond that glistens the most brightly, is called the crown. And the crown of the diamond of the New Testament is St. Paul's letter to the Romans, because it is in that letter that the Holy Spirit explains to us the most thoroughly and in depth the full impact of everything that Jesus has done for us. Now, the crown of a diamond, the very, very, very tippy top part of the diamond, and yes, I learned all about diamonds for this introduction, so now you're going to hear about it. That's called the table, and that is the most beautiful part that sparkles the most. The table of the crown of the diamond of the New Testament is the eighth chapter of Paul's letter to the Romans. Romans chapter 8 is the most beautiful of all of the perfection of God's revelation. And it's not really that Romans chapter 8 has the poetry of Psalm 23, the Good Shepherd chapter, and it doesn't really have the soaring language of 1 Corinthians 15, the Great Resurrection chapter. It doesn't have this catchy kind of drumbeat to it like Hebrews 11, the Faith Hall of Fame, or the drama of Jesus' passion in the Gospels. What makes Romans chapter 8 the best of the best in all of God's Word is not poetry, catchiness, or memorability. It's the message. It is the content of this chapter. Because in Romans chapter 8, through the pen of St. Paul, the Holy Spirit is teaching us with total clarity that Jesus Christ has taken us by the hand and led us out of death into life. What you and I could not do, what we could never do, Jesus has done for us, and he has taken us from death to life, not once, not twice, but three times. Romans chapter 8 is the peak of all of God's word, because in Romans 8, it's always a matter of life and death. And in Christ, death dies every time, and we have life every time. And the first lesson this morning, you heard the Ten Commandments from another great chapter in the Bible, Exodus 20. And every Christian should know the Ten Commandments by heart, love them, and live by them. There is no doubt about that. However, every Christian should also understand something else about God's commandments, his law. It brings us death. In the words of St. Paul, God's commandments, his law, result in sin and death, because every violation of God's law, even if it's just a thought in my brain or an attitude in my heart, brings death on myself. Physical death for my body, but not just that. Eternal death for my soul. Eternal separation from God and from his presence. And it's not because there's anything wrong with God's law. God's commandments are absolutely perfect because the Lord produced them. The problem is not with God's commandments. The problem is with us. St. Paul says the law of God results in death for us because his commandments are weakened by our flesh. And what that means is because we are born from sinful parents, we come into this world with sin already in us and on us. And that sin that we are born with, that makes it impossible for us to keep God's commandments perfectly. So we are doomed to die in our bodies and in our souls. Because of our sin, God's law is a matter of total death for us. But because God is love, and he does not want anyone to die eternally, he sent the gift of life into this world. What we could not do because of our sin, Paul says, God did when he sent his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh to deal with sin. God sent his Son into this world as a man. That's what Paul means when he says that Jesus came in the likeness of sinful flesh. That if you just sized him up with the naked eye, you would have thought, oh, there's really nothing special about this man. He's just a sinful person like everybody else. But that would have been wrong because he was also God's Son. And because he was God's Son, he lived the perfect life and sacrificed it on the cross. And when Jesus did that, God was putting our sin to death. Paul says he condemned our sin. And at the very same time that God put our sin to death in Christ, he was also raising our souls up to life. He was supplying us with the holiness that we need to live in God's presence forever. Now, this teaching Paul calls the law of the Spirit of life. Christ came into this world to bring death for our sin and life for our soul with his saving work. And the final result of that is this. So then, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Romans chapter 8 is the most beautiful of all the beauty in God's word because it's a matter of death. Life and death through and through. It is death for us under God's commandments, but it's death for our sin in Christ and life for our souls. And there is even more life and death in these verses because next, St. Paul teaches that those who have found this new life in Christ will now live a new life in this world. See, even after a person comes to faith in Jesus and receives that life of his saving work, the person still has a sinful nature. And it's that sinful nature that made it impossible for us to keep God's commandments in the first place, put us to death under God's sin, the death that Christ rescued us from. So now, St. Paul says, no longer live your life according to that sinful nature that did you so much harm and cost your Savior his life. Instead, now live your life according to the Spirit who brought the life of Christ into your heart. Once there was a father who was teaching his son how to drive. And even though this father had already taught his older children how to drive, for some reason, with this particular kid, he was especially tense and nervous. And during the lessons, he kept twitching like he wanted to grab the steering wheel away from his kid and slamming his foot down on an imaginary brake pedal. Well, finally, after one of their lessons, the son reported this behavior to his faithful advocate, his mother, and she scolded her husband. She said, "If he's going to drive, you have to let him drive. Okay, you and I are riding through life with the sinful flesh and the spirit. We have them both inside of us at the same time. They both want the wheel. They both want to steer our lives. It is time for us to let the Spirit drive, to let the Spirit control our lives. And in the name of Christ, to tell the sinful nature to let go and leave you alone." Now, if you do allow the sinful nature to steer you, you are going to end up in very big trouble. There is a warning in these verses. The mindset of the sinful flesh is hostile to God, since it does not submit to God's law, and in fact, it cannot. Those who are in the sinful flesh cannot please God. So the ultimate goal of your sinful flesh is not just to get you to sin. The ultimate goal is to drive your soul off of a cliff, to separate you from God and from His promises for all eternity. So it is time to let the Holy Spirit drive our lives. And in order to do that, we have to remember first the life that our Savior Jesus gave to us, how He delivered us from that sinful nature. And then remember how the Holy Spirit brought that life of Christ into your heart by giving you faith in Jesus. We remember those things. The sinful nature is not going to control us. Instead, the Spirit will. Your thoughts, attitudes of your heart, your actions and words will be pleasing to God. Those in harmony with the Spirit think about things the way the Spirit does. The way the Spirit thinks results in life and peace. Romans chapter 8 is a matter of life and death. It is death under God's commands, life in the saving work of Jesus Christ, and it is no longer living life according to the sinful nature, which results in death, but instead living according to the Spirit, the way that pleases God. And there is one more matter of life and death in these verses. If Christ is in you, your body is dead because of sin, but your spirit is alive because of righteousness. So because of our sin, our bodies are going to die one day. Our bodies are as good as dead. But our spirits, our souls, are alive, and they always will be, because they are in Christ, who will always be alive. I remember reading a news story a few years ago that made me very sad at the time, and it still makes me sad now when I think about it. It was the story of 21 Coptic Christians who were knelt down on a beach and executed just because they were Christians. And the murderers who committed this savagery recorded it. And they distributed the recording as a warning to other Christians in the area. But there was something about this that they didn't want people to hear. They had to erase part of the audio of the recording. But they forgot about lip readers. In the seconds just before those Christians were put to death for their faith, lip readers say they were praying over and over again, "Jesus, help us." Those 21 Christians are dead in the body. They are alive in the spirit, and they always will be. "Jesus, help us" is the prayer of every Christian at the hour of their death, whether they are dying as martyrs on a beach or cancer patients in a hospital or wherever else. And Jesus does help dying Christians. He takes them home to heaven alive in the spirit and alive forever. It is really intimidating to try to write a sermon on Romans chapter 8. I have avoided it for 13 years. A combination of cowardice and laziness, I suppose. But I hope you see this section of Scripture for what it is, the summit of all of God's beautiful truth. Because in this chapter, it's always life and death. And for us in Christ, it is life for our souls. It is life lived according to the Spirit. And it is eternal life in the kingdom of God. In every matter of life and death, God gives us life in Christ every time. Amen.